Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie in Ronnie's house, and that's Ben in Ronnie's house. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Oh my God, isn't this so fun? Isn't this so fun? I am recording from Ronnie's LA house.
Yes, I love it. Some technical difficulties.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Spectrum. There was an outage last night at 1 a.m. I was watching Survivor. I was like, okay, internet outage, whatever. And I woke up this morning, the internet was still out. I was like, no, it's been fixed. So my modem is like, you know what? I quit. My modem has decided it has had enough. And so despite the fact that service has been restored to the area, my modem has continued to be on strike. So thanks to Ronnie for opening his home to me. So I had to drive over to Ronnie's place, and now I'm sitting in his chair. I get to feel like what it's like to be Ronnie in this beautiful setup, in this beautiful room. I'm just envious of your workspace. It's so clean and beautiful. You don't have board games on every single wall that you're stuffing away and hiding off camera. It's beautiful in here.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you're there. Could you water that plant behind you that you gave me?
I actually could. Do you really need to water
a little? Yeah, just like a cup or two. I watered it before I left, but just to make sure.
Yeah, you mean the money? That one?
Yeah, that one. The money tree. The rest of
the money tree.
Yeah, the only real thing in there is from you. So welcome everybody. Today is Beverly Hills Day. We've also got a couple of fun projects coming up that are not Watch What Crappens. That's going to be crazy. Well, they're Watch What Crappens based, but they're not this. So they're really fun. And we will announce those ones next week, and the next one's coming up. We're so excited. Yep. We're working on them right now. And so there's that coming up next week. And so nothing else is going on in the world. So let's just get to the
Welcome to the Alexia News Network.
Oh, well,
you know Peter.
Peter.
He never would have done anything bad.
Star News report from the Alexia News Network.
I'm a star. I'm giving you the news today because I'm a star. Okay, so big news today, some audio leaked, about 2-ish minutes of audio leaked from the Summer House reunion taping.
This is big. It was crazy. It's like, you know, Sierra is just like holding Amanda responsible, and Amanda's like, you can't help who you like, all that stuff. But what people don't realize is that there was actually a second leak, which is crazy. And I feel like, I'm not sure if this has hit the internet yet because someone just sent it to us, but we actually have more audio from the reunion. Are you ready? All right. Are you ready to hear it? Okay, I'm going to press play.
Yeah, let's play.
Press play. All right.
So, Amanda, did you get new boobs? I love them. Tell me about your new boobs.
No, Andy, it's just like, it's really hard, and like, I didn't want to hurt anyone with my new pubes, but like, sometimes you just have to like, follow your heart.
Okay, so tell me, did West get the new pubes or the old pubes?
Could I answer that question, please? It's just like, it's like really hard for me, and like, I like, don't know what to say, and like, I just really didn't want to like, upset, like, Sierra about this, but like, the one thing I messed up was like about the pubes, so like, I'm sorry, but like, also like, I'm just like, I did one bad thing, and I think it's like not so bad if you think about it.
What do you mean it's not so bad? I'll tell you what's not so bad. The countertops in the kitchen, which I cleaned. Where's my credit?
What about my credit? Okay, because like, I've been DJing, and I'm like, what about me? It's like, still my birthday, you know? Like, how come you're like doing all this stuff on my birthday, you know?
Ew, Amanda, not only did you cheat on your husband, but you did it. You're like, West's like sloppy thirds. Like, it's disgusting. West has slept with half the town, Amanda. Gross.
Hey. There's so much fighting. I think what we all need is a little bit of music to lighten the mood, right? Cheating's not so bad when you know the guy. Cheating's not so bad when you're smiling wide.
Why are you saying that I'm having sloppy thirds or fourths? I mean, I've been with Kyle for years. I'm used to having sloppy fifths and sixths.
Oh, would you say that you're in the mix? In the mix.
You are all disgusting, and I'm here to say I support Sierra and tacos. So please go get your tacos at the beach taco stand. Beach tacos. Tacos for you.
I want to move on. I know this is a very big topic, but more importantly, did anyone here get some new boobs? That's what America really wants to know. Boobs, boobs, boobs. Bailey, Andy, did you get new boobs?
Andy, KJ here. I just wanted to say I stand by Sierra because I'm a lover boy.
I'd just like to say that I thought what happened was really disrespectful on the part of Amanda and West in the way that they came onto the stage and didn't even congratulate me for still being in love with Sabrina. So I think that you owe Sabrina an apology for that.
Andy, Bailey here. Andy, can I ask a question? Am I flirting? Am I flirting right now?
Kind of, actually. Yeah. You're stroking my hair. It's weird.
Super fascinating stuff to come out. So, yeah, thanks for whoever sent us that. So there's a lot of people wondering, like, who is the leaker? Who recorded this audio? Who do you think it is?
I don't know. So at first I thought, wow, it must be someone on stage because the audio is so crisp and so clear. But then I was on Threads earlier and, you know, our friend Dylan from Betches, Dylan Hafer, he said something like, this is why Bravo creators, like, we're not going to get invited back or something. I've got to find it. What did he say? He almost implied that like there was a Bravo creator, or did they allow some Bravo creators to hang out backstage and like watch it? I'm looking.
No, they wouldn't have done that.
I don't think so. Okay, wait, this is what Dylan said. He said, Bravo creators posting the illegal Summer House leak and then wondering why they don't get invited to Bravo events. Oh, he's probably saying someone probably sent it to a creator and then they leaked it and then, you know, that creator's wondering why they don't get invited to something.
Well, it's your national, it's your duty to your country to post it if you got it. I mean, that's just crazy. Of course we're going to post it if we got it. I mean, I love Dylan.
Yeah.
Come on now. We got to post it. You find it, you post it. That's it. It's like a lost puppy. You don't just find a lost puppy and take it home. You post it on the street. You know, you tell people, I found a puppy. Guys, well, it's important.
At Bravo for the rest of us posted 2 hours ago, update, Kyle confirmed it was directed at West. Kyle called Amanda a schmuck. I had to look it up, the definition. Oh, who the fuck has to look up the definition of schmuck? Okay, you know what? You're canceled, Bravo, for the rest of us. Don't come on here and announce you had to look up schmuck. Excuse you. So then she goes, schmuck is a slang term for stupid. Is this what the update's about? I thought the update was about something more than this, not like... It's literally an update about what the word schmuck means. This is the most funny. This is what I get for reading something on the fly. Okay, guys. Kyle called Amanda schmuck, but actually the update is Kyle confirmed it was directed at West. And then Kyle says, this was directed at West. I called West a schmuck, which, as we all know, is a slang term for stupid, foolish, or contemptible person, often acting as a synonym for jerk or idiot. In some language, it literally translates to a vulgar term for a wiener. I literally cannot believe that this content creator put the definition of schmuck up. This is making my Friday. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I had better news than that.
Yeah, so this audio leak, I think I'm going with the internet guess. I think the majority of comments I've read think it's West. West is thirsty. Also, the audio is coming from... The audio is clearest with Wes and Amanda and Carl.
Right.
So that's like right there. It's right that little cluster. But I think that a pretty good guess is also very close to there. And that is Jesse himself. Because
Jesse
would make sense. Like trying to impress a girl and be like, oh, look, I got this audio from this thing. It's pretty good. Recorded on my phone. And then that person sent it on, you know, like someone he just banged in a bar or something. So I don't know, but it's pretty bad. And they're launching an internal investigation. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, Bravo like released an official statement. Like, we take this very seriously. And the audience, you know, is like, we don't take it seriously. It's fine. But I was actually thinking Jesse this morning, and I was thinking Jesse or West, because I noticed the audio was clearest with them. Amanda was really clear. We don't really hear Jesse talk. I didn't cross-reference with the seating chart, but I'm sure people have already done that in terms of like where the voices were clearest, where the voices. But I don't think the thing is that like Is there more to the audio than that clip, or was it like, did like Jesse, if it were Jesse, did he go in there and like press record and press stop? And there was a moment where I could have sworn I felt like I heard like the sound of like fabric hitting the microphone, but I've only listened to it twice and I feel like I didn't hear it the second time. Maybe that was my own mind, you know, confabulating a moment there, because I thought maybe this could be like someone as part of the entourage watching on the closed circuit TV, but there was something about the voices sounded really clear. And there was like the, there was like a difference in the volumes of the voices that implied like a, having a distance, as opposed to if you were watching it on closed circuit TV, everyone would be at the same volume, right?
Yeah. So maybe. I think it's, maybe not. I think it's someone just either recording on their watch or just hitting record on their phone real quick behind a pillow or something.
That's crazy.
But I don't know. And also I read,
oh no,
I didn't, what?
The worst possible text just came through right now.
No,
right now, what as happened? We're talking.
What happened? Please don't tell me somebody died.
No. Can't we be. May die.
Why? What happened?
This is from my friend Neil. Hi, Neil. OMG, Ben, did you see the West nude photos? Oh, God. This day couldn't get worse.
West nude photos? Oh, God.
Of course, I'm saying no. Please send.
Yes, of course. I do not want to see that. Send them immediately. Wow.
Wow.
That happened. So I'm very excited for the reunion.
That's a big
deal. Even
day
the mortgage working. Guy, my mortgage guy was writing me this morning. That doesn't just bring really? Us all together. The whole village is like, what's up? What do you think of this?
Oh my God.
So, yeah, I don't really know. You know, the internet is aflame as usual, and he's very upset. He's very disappointed in you guys. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, Andy was like, I've got to go to an eye appointment today, and this is what I have to deal with.
Yeah, oh yeah, and Andy was like that. He's like, I'm on the way to the eye doctor. Can I even go to the eye doctor without you kids bothering me? One thing I forgot to tell you, and that we have not discussed yet, is that there's a spinoff of Summer House coming in the Ozarks, which we heard. We
yes.
were doing an interview with somebody the other day, and they told us. I hadn't heard about it. I looked it up, and it's centered on West. So, well, West is the bridge. He's the bridge. So it's all of West's friends parting right. in the Ozark, which of course they are. Like, of course. That's West fans. That's what you get. Ozark people.
I could have sworn we talked about this. Or maybe I just sent you the link, or I don't know. But I could have sworn, yeah, there is like going to be an Ozarks thing. Thanks a lot, McBee Dynasty. You are the ones who caused this. Because McBee Dynasty. This is their fault. This is their fault because they went to the Ozarks, and I think Bravo is like just trying to sort of soft launch some sort of like MAGA programming. And so they're like, we're going to do Summer House Ozarks.
Yeah. I mean, we're going for it straight up. Well, do you think that they're going to move West and Amanda over to the Ozarks and just be like, okay, go over there. Like, you're done for this one.
Maybe he may volunteer to do that. I mean, I think I assume that Wes would be sort of like Dolores on Rhode Island. He'll just be like an ambassador right. to get them on their feet. I'm actually totally okay with it. Like, I'm fine with Summer House Ozarks. I honestly think that they should also bring back Summer House Martha's Vineyard, and this time, like, make sure you have a villain, because I thought season one of Martha's Vineyard was absolutely excellent, and then season two was just sort of like rudderless and just didn't go in any particular direction, and so it was really rough. But also season two of regular Summer House was rough. So I think that Bravo should bring that one back. If they're going to bring back Ozarks,
that was a good show. Summer House,
yeah, I think that's like, it's also like kind of a bad look. And as long as we're at it, bring back Southern Charm New Orleans. That one was so good. Why are we, and it had the hottest guys of any Bravo show. Like, why is that one not back? I'm ready. Wow. I'm on a tear now.
Yeah, well, we can just ask questions on Canceled Bravo. Where's Gallery Girls? Where is it? So anyway, that's the Summer House news. So everybody who's here for Beverly Hills, sorry about that. But, you know, there's sometimes things happen in the Bravo world we have to discuss as they happen, and this is one.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
All right, let's get on with it. We are Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Season 15, Episode 19, Reunion Pod 1. What are your overall thoughts on this reunion? How'd you feel, buddy?
I was very happy with it. I was in it. I liked it. I thought It was spicy. It was fun. I was laughing. So I really had no problem. What about you?
Okay. Well, that's good. I got, I enjoyed it as well. I found myself having all these mixed emotions during it because Dorit, you know, like I'm standing against Kyle because I see what Kyle's doing. She does it every season where she finds someone that she's like, we're going against this person. She works behind, you know, with everybody else, talking behind this person's back until everyone's on her side. Then she does the same shit every year and I'm sick of it. And I think she's doing it with Dorit now. We all know I think that. I've said it a million hours this season. I don't need to go, and I will say it a million more. So that bugged me, but Dorit is also so supremely annoying, you know? She talks too much. She's so overdramatic about every little thing. She repeats herself. It's like
condescending. Oh. Yeah.
Yes. But then you've got Erica making the most hypocritical comments like, well, it's not about your money. No one cares about your money. Are you kidding? Your whole character, this whole decade you've been on here has been about how rich you are and how blah, 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 and your private plane and your rich husband and this and that. And then you're going to turn around and be like, oh, it's not about your shallow ass. I mean, she's such a hypocrite on every level in this episode. That made me crazy.
But like, weirdly enough, like when she was lecturing Amanda, I was like, you know, your message may be correct, but you are not the proper messenger for this. Like, you cannot be on here seriously talking about brands and how she's doing too much with her brands when you were the one who brandified Beverly Hills. You were the one who turned this into a glam squad circus. And it's like about what's your look. And like, you're the one who's literally sitting here dressed, you know, like some sort of Fendi circus with the big hat and everything. And like
an Orville Redenbacher, you know, at Gay Pride.
Can't do that. Like, you're the one who's all about these crazy looks and you're, you know, but I think that despite that, her message was not wrong. I think she misworded her message, which is more like, it's one thing to be like, hey, check out this cool thing I'm wearing. It's another to be braggy about it. And that's where Amanda goes wrong, is that she's braggy instead of like, isn't this cool? But we'll get to that. I find that, strangely enough, believe it or not, the one who I've liked the most has been Erica. Anyone who's listened to this podcast knows I've never really gotten behind Erica Jane. I've tried that sometimes, or sometimes I'll sort of give, you know, lukewarm praise, like, oh, she's having a good season, or I like her in this villain mode. I think this is the first time I've actually genuinely been like, I think I'm on Erica's team. I've never, never, ever felt that way. In fact, I've often blamed the fall of Beverly Hills on Erica. But I'm sort of with you. I think that Kyle is manipulative and she's self-serving and she's, you know, very quick to sort of be simpering and sad when she does so much that's so wrong. I think that Dorit has every right to be mad at Kyle. I think Kyle's been a shitty, shitty friend to her during this whole thing. But I also think that, like, it's really hard and annoying to be friends with Dorit during all this. I think that Dorit is really, she's taking a lot right now. Like, she is in the thick of it, and she's just probably so fucking annoying to be friends with. So I guess that just sort of leaves me with Erica, where I'm like, I just sort of found myself by default on Erica's side in this.
Oh yeah, no, not me ever. I mean, I find her entertaining. I've always found her somewhat entertaining. You know, she definitely is kind of a mystery. Like, she's a sociopath, admittedly, in a way. I mean, she didn't say I'm a sociopath, but she had to be explained what empathy, like, they had to explain to her what empathy was. You know, she doesn't understand, like, how to feel bad for the victims. Even today, she's like, you know, he says, what would you say to Tom? She's like, why would you do this to me? It's like, why would you do this to all those fucking kids and orphans and victims? Like, what about that? Like, she's still so dead inside. And so part of me has to respect her for, like, just being like, I'm never going to come to life inside. I'm just going to stay dead inside. So part of me has to respect that. But I also just think, you're so vile. And I don't buy 80% of this victim crap that she's peddling out. And I think that Bravo's been giving us that, like, poor Erica. And I'm not giving her an inch on that, except for the Tom being, you know, except for the abuse stuff she talked about. Obviously, I'm not going to go, you know, say anything about that. The financial abuse stuff, I was like, well, I mean, think about all the financial abuse that the victims suffered and all the money that you're going to have to pay back that you spent. I don't know that we can watch you fly around on a plane and have your husband buying you this career and then show up adoringly for every little thing you do and then really buy this. I'm not buying that. Now, emotional abuse? Of course. She's married to fucking grumpy cat, you know? It's like, shut up, Erica. I'm talking, Erica. So all of that. But most of the stuff that Erica was trotting out today, I didn't buy. But I did buy a ticket for it because it was very entertaining.
I mean, I think I'd like that Erica just has sort of reached a place in her Bravo tenure where she just basically is like, shut the fuck up. You know, I like how she sometimes just cuts right through the bullshit and just tells people to shut up in a way that I like that I'm kind of doing at home. So I think that's what I appreciate about her, because like I get all the stuff with Marco, it's all terrible, and everything with the victims, it's all terrible. But like I've sort of compartmentalized it where I'm like, it's been so many years. I'm sort of like sick and tired of complaining about it. I'm just going to let that play out in the courts and then let that deal with it. Like, I'm just sick of complaining about it personally. It doesn't take away anything about how terrible it is. I'm just kind of like, I'm sort of at a place where I just kind of want to judge her for based on what I'm seeing on screen. You know,
I get that.
I'm at. It's not me taking it lightly. Yeah, and that's fine. I'm just saying, like, it's not me taking it lightly. I'm just sort of, I have fatigue about complaining about that. And so I just kind of want to enjoy her as a character on this show. Not necessarily enjoy her, but just be like, I just want to focus on her being a character. Because I'm also finding that the more I preoccupy myself with people's extracurricular activities on Bravo, the more I go crazy. Because they all are doing hideous things at all times, it seems like. I'm not going to get myself hoisted up on the petard. By my petard, about, is that even the right use of that phrase?
By your own petard.
It doesn't mean that I won't get on a soapbox about shit here and there, because I'm not going to be consistent about it. There will be things that will annoy me, but a lot of times it's like the fresh stuff that happens. But like, you know, to me, I'm like, you know, I'm sick of complaining about it.
It's hoisted.
I just can't do it.
Hoisted
anymore.
By my own petard. Yeah, that was making me. Yeah, I don't need to go on about the lawsuits and this and that over and over. It's just her lying makes me crazy. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm going to call that out every time. I don't get tired of it. That's my hobby. I don't get
tired. You know what it is? It's like, I think it's funny to remark on it. Like, you know, I think it's always funny when Dorit paints herself as, you know, like when, you know, with so many of these things, like this. When she calls herself, like, saying that she's joining the workforce, you know, it's like, bitch, you are not joining the workforce, okay?
You're putting on shoulder pads for a photo shoot.
You brought $30,000 of cash into your Big Lots cart and then lost it mysteriously. Like, I don't mind referencing things outside of the show.
Yeah.
But I think I've just hit Erica fatigue specifically, you know, on that front.
And the other thing in this reunion, I don't know why I'm talking about the entire reunion, but the other thing that had me feeling really weird was this whole, like, coming, I felt like they were so mean to Amanda, and Amanda's a buffoon, and we said that a million times in this, so it's not like I'm going to go on a huge crusade for Amanda, but I don't like watching them team up and be mean to somebody. Like, this person is obviously mentally weaker than you guys. Like, she's not smart. She's not like sassy. She's not a good housewife. And I think they're kind of unfair. It's like you're beating up on somebody who just doesn't have the skills. And I wish they would just kind of like ignore most of it instead of all kind of ganging up. Right. And then the stuff with Bose again, just, you know, I don't want to say lied. I don't know if she doesn't remember what she's saying, but she definitely had another stinker where Amanda was like, roll the tape. And then they rolled the tape and Bose said exactly what she said. Now, did Bose mean like, I don't do it for money? You know, I technically do it for money, but the reason I do it is not for profit. I do it for other reasons. Okay, that would be something. But she did say what Amanda said, and then she denied it. And then they rolled the tape and she did say it. So that's the second time now. And they both involve Amanda. So then I'm like, well, what the fuck's up with Bose too? Because I don't normally think like that with Bose. I really like Bose. But now I'm like, well, what's up with her? Is she lying or does she just not remember anything?
I think we'll have to see when we get to those notes. Because I think if I remember correctly, the gist of what Amanda was saying was like, you are losing money on your courses. And Bose, I think in her clip, was being very specific about a certain type of thing that she could do. She's like, I don't do those things because I would lose money on that thing. But like Amanda was making it sound like Bose's enterprise was losing money. And so I think that's how I took it. It's not that I want to make so many excuses for Bose, but I do like Bose. So I will make excuses for her because that's my right as a podcaster.
Of course.
But that's kind of how I took it. The other thing is
Amanda saying she said, why would you say I lose money on my courses? Amanda said, because you told me you did. And she said, I would never say that. Why would I say that? She said, roll the tape. And they rolled it. And she goes, I don't make money off my courses. In fact, I lose money. And then it cuts back. And I'm like, well, did you not show them the clip?
I mean, it wasn't great. And when we get there, we'll have
We'll get there in six hours. I need to pull over and get some peanut butter crackers. This is like the longest road trip ever. I need peanut butter crackers. I need to pee.
We already have like a 90-minute delay because I had to like deal with my internet. And what people don't know is I drove to Ronnie's house and I got here and I realized I didn't even bring my laptop. So I drove all the way home. I drove all the way back here. So it's been a wild morning. But the last thing I'm going to say is the thing with Amanda, I honestly don't mind them punching down on her. I mean, she's like a con artist. Let's be honest. She's a con artist. I'm okay with them punching down on her. What I don't like is that they don't punch down with the conviction of like a old school Roni or a Salt Lake City or a Miami or an Atlanta or a Potomac. Cause they're like, well, we don't like all this bragging cause we just want to get to know you. You don't want to get to know Amanda. And even if you do, that's not why you're annoyed right now. Just say you're fucking pretentious and you're annoying and you're like a brat and a gnat. And like, stop acting this way. It's so annoying. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, just say it like that instead of the bragging. It's just like, it's like insecurity. And we just want to get to know the real Amanda. Just tell us who you are. It's like, no, stop it. Stop it. Just say what we all agree on, whether you like Amanda or not, is that she's fucking annoying with this shit. And like the fact that they can't actually be direct about that is hilarious. And that's why they always lose. And this cast just tries to be too nice, even when they think they're being super direct.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, let's get into it. So shots of the NYC skyline. So they're all coming in and Rachel's like, I definitely did not sleep last night. Dad. And Doree's getting ready and she's got her under eye patches, etc. And she's like, well, Erica came for me because she has nothing else going on. I was an easy target. Speaking of, I was just shopping there. And I had $30,000 in my purse. They're like, oh, God, to read again.
Armie Hammer was a knight in front of me. Then suddenly my money was gone.
So was my calf.
I think he bit me to distract me and then took my money with his other hand.
So then Kyle is like, by the way, I really enjoyed Kyle's look tonight. I don't know how it's been received by the fashion gaze, but I actually really liked it. I thought Kyle looked great. So she says,
I think 90% of them look terrible today. I don't know what these dresses are, who dressed them, who picked the color scheme, why Kyle's dressed like that. Like, Kyle looks like she's going to play tennis at a prep school. Like, what is she wearing?
I like that.
Amanda looks like she's been toilet papered. Rachel is in a Mrs. Roper caftan. Like, what are you guys doing?
I liked Rachel's sort of like flapper-esque look. Amanda, not a fan of that. I liked Bose's big thing. And everyone else, I can't remember. And obviously, Jennifer Tilly has that dress, which is great. That we will.
Yeah, haven't seen her yet. But Kyle, beyond the look, the face. Kyle came in with her new face. Yeah, normally, Kyle waits between seasons. So we got two new faces this season, which is very rare because she came in with her new season face. And now she came in with a reunion face. My question is, how are these healing so quickly? When I got my upper bleph thing done, it took me like the full 6 months to heal up. How are you getting your whole face done and it heals in time for the reunion? Who are your doctors?
When you're rich, you can just sort of have 24-hour care to come in and they buff you up and everything. It's like it's a special program when you're like at that level. It's something else, you know.
My gosh, poor people heal differently, I guess. But I will say, new face looks great. I mean, it needed some wearing in, I think, before this, because she does look like a tennis ball with a mouth at some point. She's just like, I'm so mad, you drink. Like, are you a ventriloquist? Why are you talking like that? But it looks good. She got good work done. She did.
Tennis. She's a tennis ball ventriloquist.
Because she's like, so, oh, so how do you do it? Oh, God, don't worry, you're going to get it right away. Like, are you throwing your voice? Why do I hear your voice, but nothing on your face is moving?
That'll be us someday. So, Kyle's
truly like, sooner rather than later, girl. I'm saving up over here.
So Kyle is complaining in her dressing room to Erica. She's like, I mean, if she wants to play the villain now, like that, everyone thinks that, like, remember she thought last year, everyone thought she looked really cool smoking. Like, so now she walks around everywhere, like puffing cigarettes, like an asshole because people thought that was cool. Yeah. You have fun with that. Kyle, you're the one staying on fleek and doing splits and waving your ponytail around because you think it's cool. So I just don't think that people in ponytail houses should throw splits around. That's what I'm saying. Like, just enough already.
Yeah. And you, I think this also shows why Kyle is mad at Dorit. Kyle hates when someone is more popular than her. And who thought that Dorit would be the one? But even Dorit took over and became popular all these years later, and Kyle cannot handle it. And Erica's trying to keep her on topic. She's like, oh, this is about us three coming to butt. Okay, Kyle, that's what this is about.
So then we see like a little bit of like what's to come, etc. And now it's time for everyone to walk onto the stage. The parade begins. So Sutton comes first and he's like, oh, hi, Miss Brown. How's it going? Are you excited for what may be your final reunion? Because Sutton Brown, not as fun as Sutton Strack. She's like, oh, thanks, Andy. Thanks so much. Thanks for saying that. Okay. Oh, it's Erica Jane. Erica, look at that showgirl. Erica Jane. Hi, Erica Jane. And it's Bose. Bose, how's it going, Bose?
So, Kyle comes out and there's a car. She's like, oh my God, not a car on set. I've never seen that before.
Kyle, why do I hear your voice, but there's a robot in front of me? Shut up, Andy. Hi, Dorit.
And Dorit just looks at Erica and ignores her. And so Erica sticks her tongue out at her.
And most importantly, Dorit goes, I think I'll go this way. And when she walks out on stage with like her person holding the train of her dress, she walks right in front of Erica and Kyle. It was a definite like, I see you, I'm going to walk on your feet now moment, which was great. Also, by the way,
walking around the table, I'll walk right in front of you in front of the table. So you have to deal with my train and my assistant.
Exactly. And this set, by the way, it sort of like reminded me of Disney California Adventure. It's like, welcome to Rodeo Drive. It was like this fake Rodeo Drive. But because there was that car that was on the stage, it also kind of felt like Price is Right. It was just sort of strange.
Well, maybe Dorit will win it at the end. You know, that would be nice. So Andy congratulates Dorit on not being the last one here for the first time ever. Dorit's like, yes, I knew, Andy. And they are waiting on Amanda. Amanda, you are too unpopular to be this late. Get your ass out of the stage.
Yeah, exactly. And your look was not worth it to be that late. So yeah,
she comes out, little kids run away from her. So there's like toilet paper trailing behind them. They're like, got you, stupid.
Ceremonial grade toilet paper. So Andy,
hi everybody, welcome to the Beverly Hills season 15 reunion. I'm Andy Cohen, and here is what I'm manifesting for today. And Amanda's like, ha 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 ha. So he's like, I'm manifesting friendship, conflict, followed by resolution. Okay. Hi, Rachel Zoe. Everyone's obsessed with your boys.
Who is obsessed with Rachel Zoe's boys? Who are those people who are like, oh my God, I can't wait for another Caius and Sky scene.
Oh my God, Kai Kai fan club.
Yeah.
Kai Sky fan club. We call ourselves the Kai Skies.
And then he asks Amanda, what are you manifesting today? And she's like,
say the truth, be myself, maybe have some fun. And Sutton Brown, wow, first reunion, easy breezy, beautiful Sutton Brown out. Erica, how's the DJ going? That shit's hilarious, DJing. She's like, oh, it's great. I had two fabulous weeks of shows in Australia. I got to wear latex, play other people's music, have a good time.
How's that different from your past two decades?
I know. That sounds like everything we've seen.
Bose, let's see that ring.
Oh, you mean the ring from Kelly? Yes. Oh, by the way, I do have a special request for my Beverly Hills wedding, which will be filmed, right, Andy? I would love for you to DJ, Erica.
And she's like, absolutely. Consider it done. I will DJ everything. Three songs. That's all I can do. And then my play button finger tires out. Okay.
Doreen, great to see you. And by great to see you, I mean, God, I hate to see you again. God, I hate Doreen. Doreen Andy. Sucks, everybody, okay? Let me get a raise of hands. Who hates Doreen? Me.
Andy hates Doreen's guts. Doreen. And then, like, this actually, you know, I want to amend something. When I say I found myself on Erica's side, I still also am largely on Dorit's side. I know that sounds contradictory. I feel like Dorit is totally correct about everything she says about Kyle. It's just that the thing is that when her being late, like, that shit, and her, like, she doesn't really listen, and she is really late. So I understand Erica's frustrations with Dorit, but I am, with the larger issue of how they've treated Dorit this season, I am definitely on Dorit's side.
Yeah.
Just in case there was any confusion.
Oh. Okay. So Andy's like, I just got lost.
I thought you were saying Erica thing.
I was waiting for your Erica thing.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Andy is like, wow, Kyle, you are officially Bravo's consecutively longest running housewife, and this is your 15th reunion, and your face is first. So that's quite an achievement. How does that feel? And she's like, well, I'm still standing, Andy. Am I standing right now? I can't feel my body. You are sitting.
You're sitting. It's another lie from Kyle.
This is so funny to me. What an achievement. What is the achievement here? That you never found another gig? You never.
How dare you? She's on Nashville 911 right now.
You're right. She actually, the truth is she really did find other gigs. I mean, we make fun of her all the time, but like she legitimately is doing shit. But I don't know why it is so funny to me to call being cast on The Real Housewives for 15 years in a row an achievement. Cause like Gina has done like 8. So like,
yeah.
Let's not forget. The bar is kind of low. Also,
yeah.
Crazy that Gina's been on 8 seasons.
I mean, it's like when I leave, you know, at the end of the night, the staff of the Golden Corral isn't like, "Congratulations, you stayed longer than everybody else." They're chasing me with the bill. Like, are you going to literally been eating for 3 days. Are you going to pay this?
Yeah.
So, Andy's like, "Okay, well, I want to know where we stand. The friendships with Kyle, Dorit, and Erica were shaken, and it had an impact on the whole group. Who was stirred? Do we think we can shove an olive in that and drink it and have a martini?" And Kyle's like, "Well, I would love to fix things with Dorit." She's like, "Well, I'd always love that, Auntie. But we have to be realistic, you know. Hold on, let me make my first sucking a candy face."
And Andy's like, "What about you, Erica? You think this is going to work out?" So she's like, "No." She's like, "I don't know much of." See, that was why I was on her side too. Like, I think it was just so funny. Like, Kyle's like, "Well, I mean, it would be like great if we could like get to a good place." And I was like, "Fuck it, it's not gonna happen." Like, I love that energy that she gives these days.
Yeah.
So Andy's like, "Okay, when new housewife Rachel Zoe," and Rachel Zoe's like, "Oh my god, like me? Oh my god, this is like crazy."
"Yeah, when Rachel Zoe saw how excited fans were about having her back on Bravo, she probably said, 'I'm dead. I can't. Are you okay?' But while her new friends marveled at how stylish she was, her home life was undergoing a painful new makeover." Oh my god, like, literally the wordplay is, like, making me so vulnerable right now. Like, thank you. This was, like, amazing. I'm dead. Like, amazing.
"Let's watch a Rachel clip package." And it's like, Dad, I'm dead. My husband's leaving me. Hey, kids. Do you think your husband, okay, I'm going to get, Kai, I'm going to give you multiple choice. Is your father, A, an asshole, B, a shithead, or C, a loser? Okay, go ahead. D, you're right, all of the above. Correct, I didn't say anything. What I say, dead. So then we come back and Rose is holding Rachel's hand. Why was that difficult to watch? Because Rachel has had the easiest first year out of any housewife I've ever seen. So yeah. Give her a break. She doesn't need the hand holding, but that's sweet still. So
she had her own bespoke vacation in the middle of the season. We've never
she really did.
She's like, "Yeah, my sister's house can't fit all these people. So I'll take 2 of the people, I guess."
Rachel, what was it like coming back into the fold?
Well, I feel like I survived the tabloid era, so it was scary, like not wanting to be the subject of fodder. And thank God Brad wasn't here to undermine me again. Oops, did I say that? But I ended up being like a lot more open than I thought I would be. I was like so vulnerable, and like I feel like I'm being really vulnerable about how vulnerable I was. Yeah, so vulnerable.
Well, did any part of you come back at this show to get back at Roger?
And she's like, no, not even a little bit. What? By the way, Roger's trash, by the way. Why would I try to get back at trash? You know what? I just leave trash at the side of the road and wait for it to get picked up like anybody else. I pay taxes.
He's had Vilma's haircut for 20 years. He's already suffered enough.
So is Roger upset watching the show? She's like, yeah. But like, you know, like there was bad stuff happening in real time this summer that I could have said, but I didn't say. Take that, Roger.
Yeah. So instead I said it in slow motion. I'm dead. Instead of real time. Erica's like, do you regret being so open? Because like, that's not really how we do it around these parts. And Rachel's like, no.
I love when Erica becomes the new host of the show. She does that every time where she's like,
let me ask you a follow-up question, hon.
Like, sit back.
What is empathy?
I love her asking, do you regret being so open? Like, see, that's what you get. So she's like, no, I think the truth can be like a painful thing. But like knowing that being open might have like helped as many people as I would hope for it. I think it's great. You don't understand how many boho chic stylists reached out to me and said, thanks. You helped me get through my divorce. Like just one stylist helping another stylist right now. Nothing.
Well, you weren't happy your ex introduced the girlfriend at the airport. Do you have any kind of relationship with her?
And she's like, are you okay?
Kyle's like, are you okay? I can do it too.
Are you okay? You all can do it, Kyle.
So she says that she still speaks with Roger and that he is closest with her mother because she just can't cut him off. And he even came over for Thanksgiving and he ended up staying. He was like going to be there for dessert, but he stayed till 1 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing. My mom gave him a lap dance. Like, it's a thing they do. Like, what are you going to do?
He said he couldn't go until he'd made 15 different apples into unique turkeys. I was like, what are you talking about? And then he stuck toothpicks into all of them and gumdrops. And then, lo and behold, turkeys.
In happier news, you've been photographed on the red carpet with an extreme cheese ball. I think his name is Sasha. What's that? And why isn't it Zan? Because you're fucking Zan, right? We all think you're fucking Zan, right? Everybody? Raise them hands. Me. Do you have Zan's number?
And also, Bravo, put the picture up on the screen. Don't make me have to look up this person. I was too lazy to look this person up. But,
oh, I looked him up weeks ago. I think on Crappy Hour.
Yeah, look him up.
He's him up. An absolute cheese puff. He's so cheesy.
Okay, Rachel Zoe.
He's very handsome. I don't know.
Rachel Zoe.
Just like Rachel Zoe's boyfriend. He's very handsome, but he is a super cheesy guy. I went to his YouTube. He's like,
this guy.
Manifest the inner spirit of the manifesting of the pink salt. Okay. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So I loved this because they totally call her out for dating someone exactly like Amanda. And Amanda is cringing and it's so funny. Kim from Cincinnati asks, wait, is Rachel Zoe dating a life coach who sells online courses like Amanda? And Amanda's like, I win time.
He's more of like a mind body alignment sort of person type. Thing, what? I'm like, yeah, so it's just another charlatan. Yeah. So Andy's like,
yeah, it's like getting people to like a place of like centering forgiveness. Like the goal is like you take all of your problems and then you hide them under a caftan and put a really, really long wig on. Basically, I think that's what I'm getting from it. You haven't asked him what he does yet, have you? No, I don't really. No. He's hot. He's hot, no. Andy. So.
He's basically just someone who makes your text go from center to left or to the right or full justification. He's really into alignment.
It's like, okay.
It's just text alignment.
You know Andy, how many times really you've said he's just a friend? You know how many times you've said he's just a friend?
Well, he's like a very good looking tall friend. Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on, with a husband in prison and a $25 million law. Oh, Jesus Christ, Andy. God damn it. These past few years have given Erica a million reasons to keep her. God, a million reasons too. Jesus Christ. But after years of walking on thin ice with Tom, Erica finally found a man who melts this ice queen's heart. Ooh. Let's watch this rancid human being. She's like, Jesus Christ, Andy, who wrote this?
Finally, we
like
can.
Every line is a diss.
I know. And in my mind, I'm like, ooh, finally, we're going to dig deep about who this guy is and we can figure out, like, is he like MAGA? Is he not MAGA? What's going on? Can we clear up all these things? Or instead, we can talk yet again about Tom rotting in prison. And that's actually what we do. I'm like, why are we talking about Tom again? Okay. Like, this is like the fourth reunion in a row where we have to, like, find out how Erica feels about Tom. Like, we. Like, I get it. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not curious about Tom anymore. Stop asking questions about what it was like to be married to Tom.
Yeah. So we do get into that. And Tom saying, were you nervous being on camera with Tom?
She's like, oh, yeah, because, you know, what if I said the wrong thing? But he never thought I'd get on the show. After I interviewed, he said, you're never going to get that job. And then I got it. Suck it, Tom. I got the job and I'm still here. Oh.
Yeah, so we talk about Tom. I'm with you. I don't need to talk about Tom anymore. Like, so we Tom go to commercial break.
We get it. Yeah.
Yeah. We go to commercial and we come back. And the commercial is, you told Sutton that visiting Tom won't give you closure, but if there was one question you could ask him, what would it be? And we come back from commercial and Derek goes, wow. That was a good question. Derek goes, why? And Andy says, why? And that's her answer. She says, why?
My answer to that question is why? Why? Because if you think about it, it's nearly impossible situation. Lawsuits and then this $25 million lawsuit, that's been going on for 3 years. They sued me for that right away. I mean, gosh, why'd you leave me in this mess?
I would have been like, why would you lie and hurt, like, literal children and burn victims in order to, like, pay for a gay club or 20 to feature me?
That's another good question. It reminds me of that Christmas movie about Richard Nixon. Frost Nixon? Yes. Is it that where Nixon comes to life, but he melts in a greenhouse at the end?
Not at all.
I asked Nixon for a poony, and he gave me two peace signs. Never talk to that man again. Santa. That's when I knew Santa was dead. Until I met Piquet.
So Andy's basically saying, so if you lose these lawsuits, what do you do?
It's like, well, you can file for bankruptcy, you can pat the puss, you can fight it out in court, you can go to trial, you can try to understand what empathy means, you could DJ something, I don't know, maybe go back to Italy, never come back, try to find more of that gelato. God, that gelato was good. I don't know, a lot of options.
Okay, Dorit, in Italy, you questioned whether or not Erica was going through, quote-unquote, a fuck ton. So surely you knew she was going through it. What do you mean by that?
And Dorit's like,
well, first of all, in Italy, everyone, I had a lot on my mind. I'm a single mother. A mother of a boy named Jiggy and some lady who won't stop coming to my door every day calling me mummy. There was no mention of a trial. In the weeks leading up to Italy, you know, and I found about it in the Hamptons from Rachel, reading in the tabloids. And if there's no actual conversation about it between Erica and I, it's not going to be at the top of my mind. I'm not even thinking about it. Why would I?
She's like, I saw that Erica has a $25 million lawsuit coming up, and I've known about it for several years, and I saw it was coming up in the tabloids. But since Erica hadn't mentioned it, I'm like, whatever, moving on.
I mean,
I actually kind of get in a weird way. It's like, you know, if she wants to talk to me about it, she can talk to me about it, but I'm not going to push her on this. This is like a pretty heavy thing. I do still think it was crazy that Dorit acted like Erica had nothing going on in her life. Like, I think that was
wild. Think that Dorit's answer should have been, Andy, I was saying you don't talk to me anymore. You don't share anything. I didn't know you had a boyfriend. You don't share anything with me. You treat me like I'm not even your friend. You only talk to Kyle. So how am I supposed to? I was saying, how am I supposed to know anything's going on if you don't confide in me anymore? That's what she should have said. But she's like,
said she's
well,
like,
you know, Erica, 25 million here, 20 million there. Who knows anymore? It's been so long. I mean, how many seasons do we have to watch this, Cindy?
I mean, Erica, have you ever had $30,000 in a Kit Kat bar stolen from you in Target? I don't think so. So I have a lot going on also. It's a lot of things in my life. My mind is very occupied. I've got my mind on the money and my money on the mind. Okay, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm going through things too.
Well, on the one hand, I can see that Dorit is, you know, I mean, look at her. She's an idiot. And she's got her own problems. She's self-involved. On the other hand, I've been talking about this shit for 6 years, okay? She's, really, Erica? Really? Yeah, I mean, this case has been around a long time.
I like when she said that, you know, she's very self-involved. Dorit gave this look like, me? As if she hadn't just said, I've got a lot on my mind. I can only focus on myself. But I'm self-involved. I don't think so.
Yeah, How dare you.
Yeah, you, because this case has been around a long time. And I don't expect you to keep up with every fucking thing about it. However, we have talked about it. We're close. And that's why it hurts. Because I love you. And I'm scared for you. And I don't want to overload you or my friends all the time. I know your brain can't handle it. Your cute little sweet fake British brain. Okay? So I don't want to offload my problems onto you, Dorit. That's just the sort of friend that I am.
Right. And so Dorit's like, well, I'm sorry you're going through it.
Well, we also shouldn't have to like bring it up all the time in order for our friends to be sympathetic, which by the way, of course, like when Erica and Dorit are like, maybe just like ever so faintly approaching like a productive conversation, here comes Kyle to smash it to pieces. Like, we shouldn't have to bring it up all the time in order for our friends to be sympathetic. Like everyone has stuff going on in their lives. And like, are you like so in your zone with your own issues that like, you're not even thinking of other people's issues and their problems? I'm like, can you remind us who Nanny K is, Kyle?
Or the name Kyle. Of Rachel's children. Like,
what like if, how, by the way, do you like how I am like, I'm so sick of talking about this stuff with Erica year after year. And meanwhile, I'm
bring
like,
up Nanny K.
Bring up Nanny K from like 9 years ago. I'm like, remember when she didn't even remember Lisa Vanderpump's grandmother?
I love it. And Dorit's like,
well, I'm telling you, you're wrong. You're wrong.
So Rachel's like trying to follow, but you can tell Rachel's like, why am I even here? Like, does anyone want to ask me about my pillow line? Like, what is this?
Shouldn't I be in Surf Lodge with Zand?
That's and crazy. Also, Andy, again, this year, I've said multiple times, and Andy goes, oh, God, I know, you're going through it. Jeez.
Okay, look, I get that Dorit can be annoying, but why are you still, like, wanting Erica to wallow in her Tom stuff every 5 minutes? But it's like, come on.
He's so dismissive of Dorit, and if I were Dorit, I'd be pissed. The only thing I can imagine is, you know, we know that these things film for hours and hours, and I have to imagine that Dorit was circling the drain with this statement so many times that at this point, Andy's like, okay, enough, Dorit, enough. I've heard it so many times. But, like, out of context, yeah. I feel like edited in this way, it felt like Andy was just totally kicking her to the curb, and I thought that was unfair.
Yeah, I wish Andy yawned a couple times, because we need the yearly Andy.
Am yeah. I boring you, Andy?
He's going to do it. Don't worry.
3 hours. We've got 3 hours.
He'll do it.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So she's saying when she got to Italy, it was a different ballgame. He's like, okay, Erica, bringing it back to your current relationship. Miss living in the past decade. How long has it been, Erica? And she says that she's been with Shrek for 9 months and that the kid loves her because, of course, he's like G.I. Joe. I think she said G.I. John. Oh, yeah.
No, she said G.I. Joe.
And Kyle's like, you should call him G.I. John.
Sorry, I'm an actress. I sort of like pick up a lot of like writing techniques from the writers that I'm on set with. And then he goes, that's funny. I don't get it, but it's funny.
It's like, well, I really enjoy this man. I don't have concerns with him like I did with others. I'm like,
but what was his t-shirt that he wore?
Slaughter Things.
This guy's wearing a t-shirt that says Slaughter Things and you don't have concerns.
And Crocs.
You feel safe. Like, you feel safe. I get it. You feel safe. Does he moisturize? Because that's half the battle. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy's accused of a lot of stolen valor. But, you know, Erica's not opposed to guys with stolen shit. So she's like,
I love him. He's great.
And then so they take a break and Dorit starts going through her makeup bag and doing makeup. And Erica goes,
oh, Dorit, is that the Chanel makeup bag I gave you years ago?
She goes, you sure did. And that's how much you've meant to me, that I'm using your makeup bag right now.
And Erica goes,
oh, really?
Same.
It goes, ba-boom. I was like, oh, okay.
Is she not allowed to use the makeup bag you gave her when she's mad at you? Girl, get out of here. I can't cycle through things I can use when I'm mad at people.
So I wasn't sure what the point of that exchange was. Was Erica pointing that out to be like, oh, look, see, we were friends? Or was she pointing out to be like, see, I gave you that? Either, whatever it was like, it was weird, but I enjoyed it.
So now Erica's just laughing because she's gotten under Dorit's skin. So we go to commercial. We come back.
We're back. Last year, Dorit iconically dragged a cigarette. And Kyle's like, oh, God.
Yeah, but did she iconically drive a tiny car to get groceries with her daughter? I don't think so.
But this year, her friends warned her not to drag PK too hard in public.
Oh, that was funny. So Andy's like, oh, okay, well, and as Dorit, if you thought the puns were done, Ronnie, you're wrong. They continue. As Dorit sought to be unburdened financially with a new book deal, she couldn't help but think that Kyle was reading, because I said book deal, right from PK's playbook. Let's watch, or shall we read along? Because it's fundamental. Sentences. Okay, this is done. Period.
So, Dorit, you said this season that everything Kyle was saying would come back to bite you in the ass. Has it?
Oh, yes, for sure. Let me tell you.
When it was said that, you know, things on the show that were happening, you know, for example, I told Kyle I had Pringles at my house. Kyle told Piquet, I woke up with Pringles crumbs all over me, Andy. How do you think that looked? When I had to go to my unburdened suit. Unburdened. Unburdened? I'm not unburdened. I'm covered in Pringles.
Andy, here's a perfect example. I was in the middle of Target, and I called up Kyle, and I put her on speakerphone, and I said, Kyle, I have $30,000 of cash right here in my Target basket. Now, excuse me while I go look at the threshold line of plates over here and leave my basket unattended. And then I came back, and the money was gone. That is a direct consequence of Coyle.
So she says that things were relayed back to PK about Dorit not doing well this year and spending too much money. And Dorit's like, yeah, basically Kyle was saying that to Mo. And then Mo reported back to PK. And Kyle's like, I never told Mo or PK anything about that. Yeah, well, we did see you telling Mo stuff about Dorit. And we even, Mauricio even sat down with Dorit.
No. I never said anything to either of them. All I did was send some clown emojis and then that face emoji with like the spirals in the eyes. And then maybe I sent a gif that was like someone going cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. And then I put Dorit's face and then I said like had a picture of like the Joker being like, but like I never said that she was erratic or anything like that. It's just jokes and memes.
I just sent a picture of Dorit and then I sent a meme from Girl, Interrupted. And then, what's the meme of the girl? Like, I'm poor. Help me. I'm poor. Kristen Wiig in Girls Trip just saying, help me. I'm poor. I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah, I was like totally supportive of her. Even when I texted Mauricio and PK on a group text and I sent a picture of the Taylor Swift Eras tour. And then I sent a picture of Ratatouille and then I sent a picture of the Tick.
So erratic.
Yeah. Just three independent images. That's it.
So then how did he get information that I'm not doing well on the show? And that I'm spending too much. What, he's a psychic? Is he a psychic? Or as they say in Italy, is he a psychic?
Psychic-a-doodly.
So then Kyle's like, yeah, okay, like, okay, fine, like, but I already said that erratic was the wrong choice of words. What I meant to say is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And like, yeah, well, like what you didn't see was that the others were having the same discussion with me. And like that part wasn't even shown. So now never before seen footage and BSF.
Also, yep. Why is it okay for Kyle to blame editing? Andy usually hates that. And here is Kyle like, oh, this is all editing. You, everybody else said it, but the editors left it out just to make me look bad. And then we see the never, and it doesn't, but, by the way, it doesn't back up her point at all.
It does not at all. This is so far from an exoneration. This just shows how Kyle is such an embellisher, because we see Rachel talking to Kyle in the Hamptons. She goes, I lost a read for like 45 minutes last night. Like, I thought like I was going to have a heart attack. I was like, she's gone. She's been taken to another dimension. I was like looking for Christmas lights to see if she was going to like try to communicate with us. Like, she was gone. Kyle goes, yeah, she disappears sometimes. Like, where'd you find her? Was she like wandering the streets? Was she like naked in Southampton? Like, what happened? And she's like, you know, she was in the smoking section. And like, had I known that there was like a smoking section, I would have checked that first. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, this story just says that Dorit went into the smoking section and Rachel couldn't find her, so she was freaking out. It does not mean that Dorit was being erratic. And in fact, if anything, when Rachel says, if I had known there was a smoking section, I would have checked there first, that implies that Dorit did the logical thing that Dorit does, which is that she went to the smoking section and Rachel did not know where Dorit was because she was looking for everywhere else because... But like Dorit did a very predictable thing, which is the opposite of being erratic.
Exactly. So that's Kyle's. That's all they could dig up to save Kyle. And it didn't work, Kyle.
Congratulations. You've reached the end of part one of a 2-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
Whip up a meringue. It's Amanda E. Lemon.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
We never miss her call, it's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with
Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is sweet. Well, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Can I have a Kavanaugh? It's Anna Kavanaugh.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sherrod.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.